I wonder, could we commence our service of worship this morning by turning in our hymn books or on the screens beside me to hymn number 50, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever shalt be. Hymn 50 in our hymn books. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal, most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we can gather together as a company of Thy people on this, the morning of Thy day. And we do acknowledge, Lord, right at the very outset, Thy great goodness and Thy great faithfulness to sinners such as we. We thank Thee for the day and for the hour when Thou didst reveal the person of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to poor, benighted sinners such as we. When we were transformed by the power of God. And when we washed our robes and made them white in the precious blood of the Lamb. We do thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that before the world in order stood or earth received her frame, Thou didst place our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for all Thy great goodness that Thou hast shown towards us and that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We're very conscious that since the day of our conversion, we have oftentimes failed Thee. We have often fallen and come short of the glory of God. The old man has gained, as it were, the upper ground upon our life. And all too often we have wandered into bypath meadows. But how we thank Thee this morning that Thou hast not left us lost and lone. But all too often Thou hast come after us and brought us back into the fold. And so we acknowledge Thy faithfulness and Thy goodness to our souls this day. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the day and for the hour when You set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. When You put a new song in our hearts, even praises unto our God. And Lord, we do pray for those unsaved members of our family circle, for our friends and loved ones who are lost and lone and outside of Christ. We pray that it might please Thee to make bare Thine arm of salvation and to sweep them all into the kingdom. We pray, Lord, that as we stand on the threshold of a new week, that Thou wilt help us to be faithful to Thee. Thou hast said that we know not what a day may bring forth. And so, Lord, in spite of all the giants that we may face this next week, all the valley experiences and all the mountaintop experiences as well, we pray that Thou wilt help us to prove the sufficiency of Christ in our life, that we might be walking Bibles, walking epistles known and read of all men. And grant that our walk and our way and our witness might speak into the hearts and souls of many that we have been with Jesus and that we have learned of Him. We do thank Thee for the work and the witness here in the city of Armagh. Thank Thee for the day and for the hour when Thou didst bring this work into existence. And for the men who have occupied the pulpit here, and for the souls that have been saved under the witness as Thy word has been faithfully preached. And we pray, Lord, that the best might yet be, that Thou wilt give us this city for Christ's sake. We thank Thee for Thy servant, the Reverend Macmillan, and his dear wife and family. And we pray that as he takes just a short while vacation, that Thou wilt be pleased to pour out Thy Spirit upon him. Return him to the pulpit here, renewed and restored in body, soul, and spirit, and ready to do Thy work and to do Thy will as the under-shepherd in this house. We pray for the office bearers and their families, and for all who have an active part in the work of God, in this witness, that Thou wilt be pleased to bless and pour out Thy Spirit upon them. Extend their borders, we pray, and help them to uplift and to exalt and to magnify the man of sorrows, the one who was acquainted with grief. So, Lord, bless us this morning, and again in the open air this evening, we covet the help of God. We pray that Thou wilt come amongst us and that this might not just be a normal meeting, but an extraordinary meeting. where the Spirit of God does a work of grace within the hearts of His people. We pray for the edification of Thy people, for the restoration of backsliders, for the salvation of sinners, that all that is said and done this day might be said and might be done for the honor and for the glory of Thy name. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in His worthy name. Amen. For our second hymn, we're going to turn in our hymn books, and again it will be on the screens beside me. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and He'll guide me with His hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles and give to Him my all. Standing as we sing hymn 475 in the hymn books, please. Reverend Macmillan did say to me, you will bring a wee word for the boys and the girls. And so I was thinking what we could say to the boys and girls this morning. I wonder, have you ever wondered what mum and dad or what our school teachers are thinking about? I used to do that a lot when I was a wee boy, I had to second guess my mum and my dad as to what they would think regarding what I had got up to in life. But you know, there are people out there, police officers, detectives, and it's their job, boys and girls, to second guess, to think about why someone in their detention would have done or committed such an act. Well, for these next few moments, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak about a man in the Bible. I'm sure, boys and girls, you all know his name. His name is Zacchaeus. Now, if you came from Liverpool, where I come from, we called him Zacchaeus over there. But I'm sure you've got the pronunciation correct. And his job, the job of Zacchaeus was this. He had to collect taxes from people. I was onto the tax office this last week, boys and girls, and I spent about 40 minutes speaking to a woman in the tax office. And at the end of it, she gave me a big bill that I have to pay. And you know the way mum and dad or granny and granddad might give you pocket money? Well, what the tax person does, the tax person comes and they say, how much money have you got? We need to take a portion back for the government. To pay the policemen and to pay the firemen and to pay the school teachers and all these different things which are very, very necessary. But nobody really likes giving anything back to the taxman. And so this man Zacchaeus, he was working for the Roman government. And it was his job to come and to knock on the door and to get money back, to extract money out of the people. So no one really liked Zacchaeus. Now it would be different, boys and girls, if it was a big 10-foot man who was as broad as a front door, and he came and he knocked on the door for money. But Zacchaeus was such a wee man. And so when the people came to the door, they'd look for this big man and they'd have to look down, and there was Zacchaeus. And he'd say, I've come for the taxes. But one day Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town. He'd heard a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And he thought to himself, I'm going to go and I'm going to see the man who they call the God-man. And so he went. And there in the town in which he lived, he saw a great gathering of people. And coming down the high street was this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem was with Zacchaeus, he was so small. He was trying to jump up and down to see which one's Jesus. And when the people saw it was Zacchaeus, they started to push him away. I think I've just lost my mic. They started to push him away, boys and girls. And they didn't want to let him anywhere near where the Lord Jesus was. But he was a very clever and a very shrewd wee man. And he ran ahead of the Lord Jesus and he climbed up a tree. Does any of the boys and girls know what the tree was called? What type of tree? Zacchaeus. A sycamore tree. A sycamore tree. And he climbs way up into the branches of this sycamore tree. And boys and girls, he watched as the crowd came along. And then the Bible says that all of a sudden, the crowd stopped. If we read the Bible, it says that the Lord Jesus, he stopped. And I'm sure as Zacchaeus looked down from the sycamore tree, he was thinking, which one of these Is Jesus? You see, there were so many people that came and gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ in those days. Would to God that that would happen today. That our churches, and whenever we uplift the name of Christ, that folks would come out to hear the glorious good news of the gospel, when in those days they did. And Zacchaeus looked down and he thought, I wonder which one is Jesus. But boys and girls, the Bible says this, that the Lord Jesus stopped and he looked up. And remember I was saying about thinking what other people are thinking? Well, I'm sure what ran through the mind of Zacchaeus that day, when he saw the Lord Jesus look up, I'm sure he thought, he sees me. As he saw the Savior of sinners, I'm sure he thought to himself, Jesus sees me. And boys and girls, Jesus sees you today in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. He knows all about you, just as he knew all about Zacchaeus. He knows that you have come with your parents and your grandparents, and he knows that you have come to worship, and he sees you today. But there was something else that we read in the Bible. It says that the Lord Jesus came along, and he stopped, and he looked up, and he said, Zacchaeus. Boys and girls, I've checked my Bible, and nowhere else in the Bible do we ever read of the Lord Jesus meeting Zacchaeus until he saw him in the sycamore tree. And so running through the head of Zacchaeus must have been this: he sees me, but he knows me. He knows my name. And of course, we know now that before the world in order stood or earth received her frame, the God of heaven knows each and every one of us in this world. And he knows what you'll be doing this time tomorrow, even though perhaps you don't know what you'll be doing this time tomorrow. He sees me. He knows me. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He sees me. He knows me. Boys and girls, he wants me. And that day, Zacchaeus, up in that sycamore tree, realized that the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he knows all about me. And now he wants me to come down from this tree. And so Zacchaeus came down. He said one other thing to Zacchaeus, and it was this: today I must abide at thy house. And that simply means this, boys and girls, that not only did Jesus see him and know him, and not only did he call him, but boys and girls, he wanted to go home with him as well. And that day, the maker and creator of the heavens and the earth went home with this tax collector. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do with you today. He wants you to know that he sees you, that he knows you, that he loves you, that he wants to go home and he wants to be with you for the rest of your days. And how can we know that he will be with us? Well, the Bible says if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can be gloriously and wonderfully saved. I trust that today, ere these services pass, there may be one boy, one girl, who might call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to be Lord of their life. We're going to ask our brother Billy Hill to come now and to make the necessary announcements, please.
We welcome everyone to our morning service, and if you're a visitor in our midst, you're especially welcome. We also give a special welcome to our preacher this morning, Mr. Phil Moffat, Clerk of Sessions of our Ballymoney Congregation. And we pray that you'd know the Lord's blessing as he ministers God's holy word to us this day. The following are the announcements for the coming week. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., the drive-in service at Woodview Garden Centre. The singer is Mr. George Walker from the Lurgan Congregation. Mr. Moffat will again be the preacher, and we encourage everyone to come along and join with us. On Wednesday at 3 p.m, please remember the broadcast on Radio Star Country. At 8 o'clock on Wednesday, the prayer meeting and Bible study. The preacher will be Reverend McMillan. Then next Lord's Day, the 1st of August, morning service at 11:30 in the church building. Evening service at 6:30 p.m, the drive-in gospel service at Woodview. Reverend McMillan will be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day. Then this Friday, the 30th of July, Mr. Benjamin Allen and Miss Judith McComb will be married in Newtown, Hamilton. As a congregation, we offer them our sincere congratulations and assure them of our prayers for the days that lie ahead. Then we have had a couple of happy events here. There have been two babies born to families of the congregation in the past week. And as a congregation, we want to congratulate Richard and Grace Quinn on the birth of their fourth child, a girl whom they have named Annie Grace. Also, we congratulate Wesley and Louise Windrum on the birth of their fourth child, also a girl that they have named Sophie. We are glad that both mothers and children are doing well, and we assure both families of our prayers and support for the days ahead. These are all the announcements.
Can I thank Billy for his kind words of welcome? It is a joy and privilege for me to be back with you here in Armagh. I think it was a number of years ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, when I had the joy of coming along one Sunday evening and witnessing in the gospel on that occasion. So we trust the Lord will bless us today as we gather together around his word. Can we turn in our Bibles to the second book of Kings, 2 Kings and chapter 5. It's a well-known portion of scripture. It deals with the conversion, I suppose, of Naaman in relation to the curing of his leprous condition. But it's not so much Naaman that I want us to focus our attention on today. It's going to be a little maid that was taken captive from the land of Israel. This is what it says in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And we read then in the following verses how, of course, Naaman had to go and he had to dip himself in the water. Look what it says in verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? And he went down, verse 14, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Ending our reading in verse 14, we trust that the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. With God's word open before us, let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, we pray now over these next few moments that you will help us as we consider thy truth. Grant that thou wilt speak to our hearts and to our souls. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. I was asked for a title of the message today, and I gave this title, How to Live for the Lord in a Wicked World. How to Live for the Lord in a Wicked World. I'm sure that many of you will agree that it's relatively easy to be faithful to God when everything in the garden is rosy. It's easy to serve the Lord when the sun is shining bright upon your life and mine, and upon our testimony and upon our walk. It's easy to serve the Lord when we are riding the crest of the wave. In those times, it's not an issue really to serve him. It's not an issue to love him. It's not an issue to worship him and to be faithful to the God of heaven. But friends, what about when the storm comes? What about when those dark and those difficult days begin to frustrate and to disrupt our plans? What about when our life is changed in just a moment of time? It was just about 11 months ago that I had 2 appointments to attend. I had to go to Castle Rock, and then from Castle Rock, I had to go over to Donegal and to a place called Muff. I'd never been to Muff in my life before, but I was told that the best way is to jump on the ferry, to go across the Foyle River, and to just turn left when I get off the boat. And so I went on that journey. It was just before the 21st of August last year. I asked the charge hand as we were going across just to make sure, when I get off the ferry, do I turn left to Muff? And he said, yes, that's correct. He said, but the road there is closed off today. So you'll have to go round the whole of the countryside because there was a terrible accident last night. I asked him about the accident and he said, well, there was horrendous weather here last evening. He said, and a small family were travelling home. And in the torrential rain that came, they were swept with the winds off the road. They went down the grassy bank at Quigley Point and their car plunged into the River Foyle. I was told the father died. His 12-year-old son, he died. His 6-year-old daughter, she died. And only the mother survived. The mother's name was a lady called Geraldine Mullen. Please remember that dear lady. The 21st of August this year will be 12 months since that tragic accident took place. The funeral service was broadcast on TV. And the sole survivor, Geraldine Mullen, said these words at the funeral service. In seconds, my life completely changed. Such events and such dark providences which take place in the lives of individuals sometimes are completely inexplicable. Often events overtake us all of a sudden and we become victims of circumstances that are beyond our control. Well, that's what happened in the life of this little maid. And I want to consider just a few things this morning. We only have 3 verses, you know, in the whole of the Bible about this little maid. In verse 2, we read that she was taken. In verse 3, we read 20 words that she spoke to Naaman's wife. And in verse 4, we read of the influence and the testimony that she had on the lives of others. That's all we've got to go with today. 3 small verses. There's a lot we don't know about her. We don't know about her background, other than she lived in Samaria. We don't know anything about her parents. We don't know if she had brothers or sisters. We don't know her age. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. So there's an awful lot we don't know about this little maid. But what we do know is she was to become a trophy of grace in the hand of the God of heaven. And she was to become a blessing to those very people who had kidnapped her and taken her from her home. One day this little maid awakened out of her sleep. This day seemed like every other day as far as she was concerned. But little did she know, and little did her family know, that for this wee maid, everything was about to change in her life. Unbeknownst to her, the Syrian army under the leadership of Captain Naaman were making their way to her very city. And what was their intention? It was to pillage and to destroy. It was to wipe out a people. It was to extract all the wealth and to take slaves back to their homeland and place them in bondage. It's true, you know, that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And such was the case in this situation. She was kidnapped and swept away by the hand of a tyrant, one who was an aggressor. And she was taken from the comfort and safety of her own home. How true the words of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 are. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Being taken from her loved ones is bad enough. But for this young girl, she was taken to the very home of the man who planned the attack, to the home of Captain Naaman. I wonder, can we get a glimpse of her this morning? As night after night, she puts her head upon her pillow, and she thinks of her long-lost loved ones back in her homeland. She thinks of those who knew her best, those who loved her most. And now she resides in Syria as a slave, in the very home of the kidnapper. She was waiting upon Naaman's wife. It was her job and responsibility now to cater for all the needs of Naaman's wife. Not an easy task for this young maid to perform at such a tender age. We said that we don't know much about her background, but what we do know is that she's about to have such an influence in that home in which she is held hostage and as a slave. An influence which would reach the very palace of Syria itself. And furthermore, the testimony of her faith would be heard in the very ears of the king himself. Just one we made. Just three texts. Just 20 words. And yet the king in the land would hear all about her. Friends, let's just pause there for a while. Never think for a moment that the Lord can't use you and your life for his glory. Never think that your unwavering faithfulness towards him cannot and will not be rewarded, and will not challenge the hearts and souls of the ungodly. Because the Lord takes the ordinary in this life to do the extraordinary. He takes the natural to perform the supernatural in life. Never think that you can't be an influence for the God of heaven. That you can't make an impact for God in the very situation and in the very circumstance in which the Lord has been pleased to place you. It's not your success in life that the Lord's interested in. It's not your bank balance or how much property or land you own. The Lord is interested in your faithfulness to him. Being faithful in a dark day, being faithful in difficult days, I wonder, do we know anything about that ourselves as we sit in Armagh today? When the going gets tough, do we still seek to serve him? Or I wonder, do we go to pieces as a people? Well, here was a little maid whose life had completely collapsed all around her in just a few moments it would never be the same again. We don't know much about her, but we do know what she lost. You see, she lost her family. There's no mention of her family being taken captive. She lost her home, we know that. She was taken 500 miles away. She lost her freedom. No longer could she go out when she wanted to go out. She lost her liberty. She's now incarcerated in the home of a Syrian. But friends, through it all, she never lost her faith in God. She never lost confidence in the God of Israel. She never lost her love for the Lord. And she never lost the Lord himself. I don't know what circumstances you may be facing today, but I know a God who does. And he knows the difficulties that perhaps you face, the perplexities of life. Friend, just remember, the Lord has not brought you this far to forsake you here and now. He's aware of your plight. He's aware of your problem, and he knows all about your prayers. This wee maid, though small and young she was to become mighty through God. We can see the humility which she displayed. We don't read, you know, of her creating anarchy or resisting authority. We don't read of this little maid mounting a rebellion in the home of Naaman or causing issues in Naaman's palace. Oh, she had every reason to be angry. She had every reason to be frustrated, but we see rather a Christ-like spirit in the life of this young maid. She, like the Apostle Paul, could have said, "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You see, this little maid, she'd been grounded in the truth by godly, faithful, God-fearing parents. And she saw her kidnap, though it was difficult to accept, she saw her kidnap being part of a greater plan that God had prepared for her life. She wasn't moaning and groaning at the Lord, but she knew that all that befalls me in the permissible will of God. Or perhaps she didn't understand it. No doubt she couldn't attempt to explain it. I have the great privilege of teaching our Bible class in our Hebron congregation, and we decided that we would look at the life of Joseph, all the highs and all the lows of Joseph throughout his life. In fact, a quarter of the book of Genesis is given over to this one individual himself. I thought we could cover his life in 5 weeks. That was something like 15 months ago. And we have been watching his life as God took him to the pinnacle, and how he was deflated, and how he was blessed, and how he was deflated. How he was loved of his father, but despised of his brethren. How he was sold to the Ishmaelites, but God prepared him a place in Potiphar's palace. And how Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and then he's thrown into the prison cell. And we see all the highs and lows of his life, the ups and the downs. I'm sure that this wee maid could relate to the life of Joseph. And now this disruption has come into her life. She has to learn a new language and a new culture. She has to serve a new schoolmaster. But we see her serving with humility. It just shows you the type of character the manner in which she was raised, that all things work together for good to them that love God. She served the Lord with a humble and a contrite heart. Let me say to parents, which may be amongst us this morning, never despise the responsibility that you have to raise your children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. Not only her humility, which she displayed, but the integrity that she demonstrated. I looked up that word integrity. It means to be honest. It means to maintain strong moral principles. Another dictionary definition says, integrity is to follow your moral or ethical conviction in doing right things in all circumstances, even when no one is watching. Integrity. And this young maid, she served with silence in the home of her kidnappers. She served with humility and with dignity and with reliability and with spirituality. She served with great integrity. You see, the world was watching this wee maid. Providentially, she realized that this is of God, what befalls me. God has a purpose planned for my life. And all that has befallen me has befallen me in His sovereign will. This is no mistake that I, of all people, should be in the home of the very man that mounted the attack on my city. And I'm in the home of the kidnapper. I don't know what crisis you might be facing today, dear Christian. But I know this, that in the midst of it all, the Lord will not forsake you. And in the midst of it all, the God of heaven wants your life to tell for Him. He wants you to shine in your small corner, and He wants me to shine in mine. He wants to see the fruits of the Spirit bearing witness in your life, that your walk, your talk, your worship, your ways will be right in His sight. So we can see the wisdom of this young maid as she contemplates the sovereignty of God in her circumstances. I can just see Naaman's wife observing that wee maid. She watches her conduct. She observes her conversation. She notes the conviction and the compassion that she appears to have for others. And maybe one day, Naaman's wife says, "Tell me this. Do you miss home?" And there is thrown wide the door of opportunity for this maid. Now she's presented with a glorious opportunity to exalt her Lord in Naaman's home. She says, "Ma'am, it's all in keeping with the will of God for my life. I'm here not because the Syrian army and not because your dear husband captured me, but I'm here because God wants me to shine in this place for Him. This is where He has placed me, and this is where He wants me to be." Her humility, her integrity. Friends, I want you to see her sympathy. Now come with me for a few moments to the living quarters in Naaman's home. In the passage that we read, Naaman's wife appears to be downcast and depressed and discouraged. A conversation is taking place between Naaman's wife and the rest of the maids and their friends regarding the increasing, advancing problem of Naaman's leprosy and condition. The leprosy seems to be getting worse and worse. Can you see the wee maid? Perhaps she's combing the hair of Naaman's wife, but she's listening to the conversation. She's listening and she's watching Naaman's wife as Naaman's wife sobs because of his deterioration. She hears how Naaman has sought so much help from so many professionals, and yet he's growing even more the worse. And yes, though this man had taken the little maid captive, she strangely feels burdened for him and great sympathy towards him. And all of a sudden, in verse 3, she cries out, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would cure him of his leprosy." All of a sudden, the room is saturated with the presence of God. Just one brief sentence, only 20 words. But oh, what passion, what conviction, what assurance, what authority she spoke with as she suggests that the kidnapper go to the man of God in Samaria. What an impact she was to make, not only in Naaman's home, but also within the home of the royal palace itself. In fact, in verse 4, it says, "And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." Her humility, her integrity, her great sympathy. Friends, can we finally see her testimony? Oh, when they saw the comments that she made, when they saw the compassion that she was moved with, when they saw that conviction with which she spake and the concern which she displayed, they were convinced in the royal court, let's do what the wee maid says. Let's send Naaman to the man of God. I wonder what you and I would have done. Taken from our homeland, taken from our family, incarcerated somewhere else, and knowing that the man who took us is now afflicted, I wonder would we have come to his aid and to his assistance? You see, God can take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He can take the things which are not to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, she was so low in life, and friends, he was so high. She was so weak, and he was so powerful. She was so little, and he was so great and so mighty. She was so insignificant, and he was one of great authority. But when she witnessed, when she spoke in Naaman's home, the maid who was the captive, the maid became the captain in the home. And the captain, he became the person who was commissioned to go to the man of God. Friends, that's what God can do when he moves in the life of one who is completely consecrated unto him. We know not what the future holds, but praise God, we know who holds the future. Let me ask these few questions as we bring our meeting to a close. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his work to do? Oh, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Lord, make me a channel of blessing today. Let's bow together for prayer and bring our meeting to a close. Father in heaven, you know the difficulties, the doubts, the dilemmas, the distress that perhaps some of your people, even one, might be undergoing at this very time. You know the plight and the problems, the difficulties and the doubts that have occurred over these last few weeks. You know the burden that they bear. And Lord, just like this little maid, we know that these things have not taken the God of heaven by surprise. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt keep thy servants faithful, that whilst the strong winds of opposition might blow against their life, that they might burn bright for the Lord Jesus. And grant, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt bring them through this current crisis. For we know that Christ can meet us at the very point of our need. Lord, we ask of thee that this message may have come as some form of encouragement and blessing to their soul. We stand upon the threshold of a new week, as we've already said, and Lord, we know not what giants we have to face. We know not the obstacles, the difficulties that we're going to have to overcome, but we pray that you will help us to burn bright for thee in a dark and in a desperate generation. And so, Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt now take us to our homes in safety and grant unto us that blessing of thine that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name.